Hello, and welcome back to A Good Book Review, a podcast where we sit down and we review a wide variety of books which have been written for a Christian audience. My name is Chase Vitort, and this is Alex Daniels.
Today's program will feature our close personal friend, Travis Albrecht, as we listen to his thoughts on one of the all-time favorite books, The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. Sandy's Peacemaker was most recently published in 2004 by Baker Books and is available on Amazon for a list price of $14.39.
Yes, it is. Pastor Travis currently serves as the lead pastor for Valley Brook Church in downtown Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Prior to that, he served with churches in Menominee, Michigan and in River Falls, Wisconsin. And before his pastorship, Travis attended seminary at Bethel University in St. Paul, Minnesota. Bearing all that in mind, we are incredibly grateful to have you on, Pastor Travis. Welcome, and congratulations on being our first ever guest.
Hey, welcome. Hey, thank you, Chase, Alex. Thanks, and to everyone tuning in out there. I'm so glad to be with you.
Yeah, glad to have you. Opening up, we're going to start the review here with question number one. The Peacemaker, which is the book that we're reviewing today, it's got a lot of weighty endorsements. If you look on Amazon Prime, you'll see names like J.I. Packer and John Piper who attest to its value. Pastor Albrecht, what would you say makes this book such an important read for the church in 21st century America?
Well, you could even narrow down to what 2020, right?
Right, yeah, this year.
It's been proven to be quite a divisive world, and not just outside the church, but inside the church as well. And as our world becomes more and more divided, it seems like men and women in the church have forgotten how important it is to live at peace with one another. A colleague of mine, a pastor friend, recently said that that our world seems to be all about monologues lately, and has forgotten the art of dialogues.
Oh man!
And I just think, I mean, that we just seem to disagree over anything. Now, we can disagree over anything, but we are held to honor and love, listen and learn from one another. And so, well, Jesus in his beatitude says, blessed is the peacemaker. They'll be called sons and daughters of God. And so when we live out peacemaking in a divided and dark world, we're shining light on God's goodness. You know, Jesus himself said, the world is going to know his disciples by the way that we hate each other. Nope, it isn't. It's how they love one another. And by loving one another, we're in unity and peace. And so when we're in unity and peace with one another, it's vital to the witness of the church. So that's how important it is to the 21st century and the church. It shines a light. It makes Jesus more famous.
So not talking about the style of the book, what makes this book a particular, like, the best on the topic of peacemaking?
Well, you'll hear from a lot of different authors, pastors, well-known folks, and they will say, this is the book. It is so thorough in its handling of biblical peacemaking. It's almost like a reference book, but it's not. But it's well-written. It has tons of stories to help illustrate, to draw you in, helps you to relate to it. It's got a very systematic approach to the way that it approached biblical peacemaking. So that's the style and the context. That's what really drew me to this book and makes it so helpful.
Awesome. Before we continue talking about how comprehensive of a book it is, maybe it'd be a good idea for us to define or at least explore what Sandy's definition of a peacemaker is. So speaking from Pastor Travis, what would you say the definition is?
Yeah, Sandy starts right out in his book at the beginning. He says, peacemakers are people who breathe grace. They draw continually on the goodness and the power of Jesus Christ. And when they bring his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, strength, and wisdom to the conflicts of their daily life, God delights to breathe his grace through peacemakers. And he uses them to tear down, blow up anger, improve understanding, promote justice. Peacemakers encourage repentance and reconciliation. He's very thorough in his definition of what peacemaking is.
Okay. How, like, over the past 5 years, how often have you referred back to, like, this book in your pastoral ministry?
It's like monthly, weekly, daily. So as human beings, you guys are, I am, do you have any conflict in your life? You know, have you had a disagreement with somebody, a posting on social media? And so in my relationship with my wife or my kids, members of the church, so this book is something that I refer back to quite often. It's really, and I'll share this a little later, but it's how can I glorify God in this conflict? That if I answered that question in my life, and that's what I keep coming back to, rather than how do I win in this conflict, or how do I get across my rightness in this conflict, versus how can I glorify God? So that's, I keep coming back to it. I want to follow Jesus, rightly in my relationships and in my conflicts. And so how do I glorify him? So I come back to it quite often. And I would have to say that, in a lot of counseling appointments, interactions, husbands, wives, people who are in conflict, I'll reference this book quite often, because this is the book on peacemaking, on how to resolve conflict biblically.
That's awesome. So obviously, have you read this multiple times or just once through? Would you
say? Oh, several times. Several times. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So if you're able to kind of think back with me to your first pass through the book, did you have a particular idea that appeared especially novel to you? Was there something that really stood out for being especially original from Sandy?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's original. I assume it is. But I mean, from his book, there were really two parts: the slippery slope of conflict. He talks about attacking and fleeing. Really the big one was when he talks about the four G's of peacemaking.
Four G's.
Number one is glorifying God. So it's the process of peacemaking. We can glorify God. You know, how can we glorify God in this conflict that we have? The second G is get the log out of my own eye. Does that sound like a Bible verse? Mm-hmm. Get the log out of my own eye.
Might have heard
it. Yeah, you've heard of it? Yeah,
I think so.
It's in there. Jesus said it. So so in approaching conflict, what did I contribute to this? What do I need to own up to before I even point out? Because in conflict, we so quickly want to point out other people's issues. And Sandy just says, and Jesus says, to, you know, address it ourselves. So second G is get the log out of our own eye. Then it's gently restore. That's when we go to the other person. So after we've looked to glorify God, dealt with our own business, and then we can go and seek out a brother. And, you know, he points out Matthew 18, also in your Bible. You can fact check that.
Okay. We'll get our fact checkers on that.
You sure can. gently restore the other person. And then the last G is go and reconcile. So it isn't just solving whatever the disagreement was, but it was really to reconcile. God reconciled himself to us. He wants us to reconcile ourselves with one another.
Okay. So obviously, like, that's the main lesson. Do you have like a favorite quote or like passage from the book?
Yeah. Again, in the first couple chapters, he just says that, you know, the Bible teaches us that we should actually see conflict that neither as an inconvenience nor as an occasion to force our will on others. Wow, that was mind blowing for me. I always wanted to see conflict as, well, it's an inconvenience. Why me? Or that it's a way that I could win out to somebody else. But Sandy says the Bible teaches us that we're not to see it as an inconvenience or as an occasion to force our will on others, but rather as an opportunity to demonstrate the love and power of God in our lives. And then he goes on to say that conflict always provides an opportunity to glorify God, to bring him praise and honor by showing who he is, what he's like, and what he's doing. And the best way to do that is going through the peacemaking process. So this book is filled with great quotes, but that one has always stuck with me.
That makes sense. So you said that came from one of the earlier chapters, right?
Yeah.
Do you know, just for our listeners who might have the book or who might be buying it and then listening to this later, what chapter is that? And would you say that one was, you know, of all of it, your favorite overall chapter, or would that be too hard of a question to narrow down?
the whole book. No, that quote is in chapter one.
Okay.
Where he kind of really lays the groundwork for what is peacemaking and what are some common reactions that we might have when we see conflict. And I have to say that from cover to cover, he is thorough with every aspect. He does not waste pages, and he does not waste words through this. So, got to read it, the whole thing.
Huh.
But with that, it has been one of those. All right. So after you read through it, it is easy to come back to and reference chapter to chapter, because it could be, all right, this area of my life, or I see this in a friend's life, and so I can address this. You know, let this be a helpful resource. This chapter versus, you know, having to know the whole, you know, the whole deal.
Sure, sure. I think that Pastor Travis, you provide a unique perspective on that, because what our listeners don't know about you is that you do a lot of reading. How many, you keep a list because you have like these goals. How many books would you say you read on the average year? Well, like, maybe this year, what was your goal?
This year was different.
Okay, this year's 2020. Yeah, of course.
I started setting a goal about 2 years ago, and I thought, well, you know what? Two a month would be good if I could, you know, one every 2 weeks. And but no, this year I'm past 50. And jeez, thank you. Thank
cow.
You to audiobooks and also COVID. So
Yeah, the reason I point that out is just to say, like, yeah, if Mr. Albrecht here is saying that this is a good book that you can turn back to and find stuff in, then he's not saying that as an anomaly that he hasn't read other books, but this is good information. The following question to that we would want to hear is how long do you think it would take the average reader to finish this book? Because obviously it's a bit thicker.
Yeah, it is. It is indeed. It is a few hours. I mean, I'm not a fast reader, but it does feel like you're drinking out of a fire hose at times when there's just so much information. Sure. You want to process. It's not just that you're looking for knowledge, but a lot of it is dealing with your own soul and working through your own conflict. And so it isn't, I'm just learning this to give it to somebody else. You're also going through it yourself. So a good set of hours for sure. But the book does have a great flow to it, and it's sectioned off in a way that makes it easy as a great reference for resources later on. So it's easy to not have to put it down. You just keep reading it. So, okay.
Mm-hmm. Could I ask also on that note, so obviously you've said you read it a couple of times. For the person who's reading it for the first time, how would you recommend, like, is that something you'd say, hey, read a chapter a day and use a highlighter? Or what would you say would be the way that readers could get the most information out of this book? Because obviously, like you said, if it is so easy to read, it might be easy to read multiple chapters in a day. Would you advise against that? Would you warn against it? Would you endorse that? Where? And I know that's kind of a speculative question to ask.
It is. It really depends on the person. Mm-hmm. But I would encourage underlining, highlighting, dog-earing, because you're going to want to come back and reference it. Okay. It's going to be helpful in your own life, but also in other people's lives as well.
So now kind of talking about peacemaking, confrontation, was there anything when you were reading the book that you found challenging or that you did agree with initially?
Yeah, so before reading this book and applying the principles to it, I really saw conflict as being somebody else's conflict in my life being somebody else's problem. Like, do you guys, you know, I don't know if you can relate.
It's, no, I'm pretty perfect, but I can see how that could be an issue for you guys.
Yeah, I've got a good book. I got a good book for you, Chase.
Oh, great. Wait,
by Ken Sandy.
Wait, I see.
Yeah, but that was the one. I would always, like, why is this happening to me? What it, you know, what it is, but what it helped to do is change to say, you know what, it may not be 100% my fault, the conflict. I might have 10% in it, 25, 30, but I need to own what I need, what I'm contributing to the conflict, and own it in order to be moving forward. And also, it really elevated the importance of relationships, reconciling, because so often, I think it was easier to just cut and run, break off a relationship and just start over new with somebody else. But that's not God's way. That's not God's way. That's not what he wants. And especially when you talk about brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to be spending eternity together. Why don't we start living that out here? Yeah. But then again, Ken Sandy goes back to, it's a demonstration of the gospel. Mm. It's a demonstration to the world how the church is different. God reconciles himself to us, or us to them, to him, and then for us to live that out to other people. So yeah, that's the challenging part, is living out life with other people.
Yeah. I'm also interested to hear your answer to this. So as a pastor, I assume that you find yourself frequently taking two parties who are in conflict with one another and trying to remedy them to each other, or trying to help solve that. Would you say this book has been especially helpful in the capacity of being the mediator in that role as a pastor, or being one of the parties in conflict? Between those two things, would you say, like, man, this has really helped you become better at being the person involved in conflict, or being the mediator?
Yeah. So this book has been I think so. It's a good reference, but it's people who are in conflict aren't wanting to sit down and read this weighty of a book. So the principles themselves are really helpful. Using the principles of the four G's, just asking them, you know, if you're in a conflict with one another, let me just have you ask the question, how can you glorify God in the way you're fighting against each other or holding your desires, right? I mean, how can you glorify God? Well, that diffuses a lot, or at least helps to center it back on. But Sandy points to, you know, the book of James. James says that all of our conflicts are a result of our desires. My desire is different than your desire, so now we're at war against the other. We're fighting each other. And so it helps be a resource in that way, at least the principles. For those who are really, most people have not really thought about how to resolve conflict in a healthy way, in a biblical way.
Yep.
Our parents may not have taught us, we don't talk about it in the church much. Sandy helps to revisit that and bring those principles back. So I've been advocating this book since I first read it. I mean, it has to be in top five of all the books I've ever read in terms of being so helpful, so practical, so life-changing, both in the church and outside the church. So,
Would you say there are any other books on the topic of like conflict resolution that you can say that someone should read after this, or could or should?
Yeah. Paul Tripp's got a couple of them. War of Words. I don't know if you guys have heard that
PDT,
one.
PDT, let's go.
Yeah, no doubt. Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul Tripp is another good one. And then Dancing in No Man's Land, which I think we're going to talk about in a future podcast. So by Jennings.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, thanks so much, Pastor Travis, for sitting down with us. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this episode. But again, we just want to extend our gratitude, especially because you're our first ever guest. So that's super cool. And we're grateful to have you.
Yay. I feel so honored.
Yeah. if any of our listeners are interested in hearing more from you, excuse me, or hearing more from you or learning about your church, where can we direct them to?
Yeah. So you can find me on Facebook or Instagram at trav.albrecht, trav.albrecht. You can look me up there. Or valleybrookchurch.org. That's our website. We're in the historic Hollywood Theater in downtown Eau Claire, and our services are at 10 o'clock. But you can check me out there on our website, and that's where you can find me.
Yeah, and as far as his last name, it's A-L-B-R-E-C-H-T, Albrecht, if you're looking at Instagram or Facebook. Thanks for that, Pastor Travis. If you enjoyed hearing from Pastor Travis today, don't forget to tune in once again to episode 16, which is the next episode on which we will have Pastor Travis. In that one, he will be speaking further to the book that he mentioned at the end of this podcast, Dancing in No Man's Land by Brian Jennings, which is subtitled Moving with Peace and Truth in a Hostile World.
All right. And as always, if you're interested in reaching out to get in touch with myself or Chase, please feel free to email us at goodbookreviewpodcast@gmail.com. And that, again, goodbookreviewpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks so much for listening. I can't wait to see you guys or speak to you guys next time on episode 4.